Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
We are in for something special.
This is Triple M. It's the weekend. Our favourite time of the week. Every exhilarating moment live.
Here on digital radio and on the Triple M app.
For Ream Hot Water, this is Triple M Footy.
All right, welcome back to it as we rock the footy finals. Leichhardt Oval is chockers. The late mail, the late news is that Robbie Farah will now take his place in this game because Corey Thompson has pulled out with a calf injury. Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler, James Triceps Hooper and Maroon. We're going to do a special version of this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Well, I Call BS. Ryan Girdler, welcome to you, my good friend.
Hey, Maroon. Hello, everyone.
A special edition of I Call BS.
Oh, well, I think it's a good way to start this second part of the show. I mean, I think we have to call BS on Corey Thompson's calf, don't we?
We do.
Was Robbie ever not going to take the field this afternoon over there at Leichhardt? It's a fantastic story, and I'm so glad he's going to be part of that. But, I mean, I think it was Bulldog Richie tweeted out this morning that Robbie was going to warm up as 19th man just in case anything went wrong. Yeah. And I have to say straight away, I thought to myself, well, geez, wouldn't that be convenient if something went wrong in the warm-up and Robbie got to run out and play? So that's the theatre of all. It's great, but you've got to go. I'm calling BS on Corey Thompson's calf.
Yeah, good to have you on board.
I'm not saying that they sat him out.
No.
I don't know what his problem's been as we have a look at Leichhardt Oval there, boys.
That's beautiful.
The other thing that caught my eye this week so far today, Maroon, was the fact that the Sharkies, I don't know whether you discussed it, but the Sharkies bus couldn't get through the crowded streets of Leichhardt and had to pull up about 500 or 600 metres away from the ground. Mm. Now, the lineup to get in Leichhardt before they opened the gates was over a kilometre long, and the Sharkies boys had to just wear the little walk down the streets with all the Tigers supporters there getting ready for the game.
That was by design.
Fantastic. Great stuff.
Okay, boys, let's go live now to Leichhardt Oval with our mate Brent Reed from the Australian newspaper and Triple M NRL. Reedy, you are at Leichhardt Oval. Welcome to the show. Talk us through the atmosphere.
Oh, the atmosphere is unbelievable. I mean, the lines, I got here an hour and a half ago, and the lines outside the gates were massive, basically. And I tell you what, I don't think they know yet that Robbie Farah is playing, so this will go nuts when he runs onto the field. Michael McGuire's just walking past me now with a rueful shake of his head. So it's not the best preparation, I guess, for this game, but they get the fairy tale in the end, don't they?
So talk us through the Robbie, the way this has unfolded, the Robbie drama, Reedy. How's it all played out?
Well, when they warmed up, Robbie was in a tracksuit. He was actually out there just watching at the side. So apparently he was very close.
Oh, hang on, Reedy. We've lost you, mate. We'll just try and get you back. We've just lost Brent Reed there. He's live at Leichhardt Oval. The news is that Robbie Farah is set to play. So let's just, boys, I know you probably don't know yet yourself, but where does the reshuffle happen in the side? How will this affect the side with Corey Thompson not playing?
Technical difficulties there is the term we were looking for, Anthony. Look, apparently Paul Momorowski is going to go back to fullback. I'm guessing, but Michael Cheekham, who's named on the bench, has filled in the centres at stages of this season. So I'm tipping that could be the way they go. Is that Brent Reed back on the line now,
Yeah, I
Anthony?
Think, Reedy, sorry, mate, we lost you, but you're back. Go for your life.
You're spot on, Hoops. Momorowski will play fullback and Cheekham will start in the centres, and obviously Robbie comes into the side on the bench. But yeah, as I said, he was in a tracksuit when they were warming up and looked like he wasn't going to play, but then Cheekham's actually, Thompson's actually done an Achilles in the warm-up, and that's why Robbie's been rushed into this team. He actually was apparently, I wasn't out here, but apparently he was warming up on the concrete behind the dressing sheds and then in the dressing shed. So he actually hasn't warmed up with the rest of the team. That's how late this has happened.
Reedy, is it a little bit sus or...
I don't think so. I don't think so, Hoots. As I said, Michael McGuire just walked past me. He didn't look as though he was a bloke who'd been pulled a big roost, that everyone had pulled the wool over everyone's eyes. He actually looked a little bit rattled by what's happened. And as I said, Robbie didn't even warm up.
Reedy, we've just had a little bit of fun with it and we've called BS on the whole situation. But tell me this. So that would mean if Robbie's out there now that he would have declared himself fit through the week and Madge has basically decided to go away from using him in this game, because that's the only way He could be taking part in this game now if he made himself available through the week. Madge's gone, well, I don't think you're in our best 17 moving forward, but you can warm up, and in the warm-up something's happened to Thompson.
Well, that was the mail at the ground when we got here, that he was fit to play, and Madge made the decision.
Wow.
Because they were going so well, he didn't want to change it up. Obviously, he's had to change it up now because of a late injury, and you know we'll see how Robbie goes, we'll see how long he gets. He mightn't even get in the field, to be fair.
Because we've got the Fox monitors going now, he was warming up way before Thompson walked back into the dressing room injured.
Mm. Well, the door's on standby. It's an aggravation. It's not a fresh injury for Corey Thompson. It's an injury he had, apparently. It's not something he's done in the warm-up. He's just aggravated a problem. Mm. So Robbie apparently was always on standby for Corey Thompson.
Righto, well, they're about to kick off, Rudy. Just talk us through, what's it like? What's the atmosphere like? Is it semi-final style?
Oh, well, you know, Hoops, you love this joint. I mean, it's unbelievable. The Hill's just a seething mass of humanity with a lot of beer cans in their hands.
Seething mass of humanity.
Get us there.
Mate, I think you better go and have
that's
a little bit.
That's poetic, Rudy, that is.
You got to go and lay down.
Yeah. Get out of the sun.
Yeah, Reedy, we'll cross back to you if anything happens, mate. Thank you very much. There he is, Brent Reed, joining us there. Live, the news, if you've just joined us, is that Robbie Farah has made his way onto the bench for this game because Corey Thompson pulled out with an injury. So a little bit of a shuffle to the West Tigers pack and the West Tigers side. 30 seconds gone in the game, and of course it's nil all Tigers and Sharkies, but we'll keep an eye on that game for you and get your scores updates. All thanks to Tyre Power. They're the people to see. Gordy Tallis, James Triceps Hooper, Gerds. Not the usual way we start, mate. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. Yeah, it's been a great weekend so far. Lots of twists and turns in what's the last week of the regular season, and a lot of implications on what's going to happen in the first week of the finals. Not all positive for some sides, but seen some cracking games so far, and hopefully we get a couple more this afternoon.
Absolutely, mate. It was interesting, wasn't it, that Warriors game yesterday with Blake Green getting a try with 3.5 minutes to go. An interesting thing to come out of that game was Jared Croker missed, you know, enough goals to put the Raiders ahead and win the game.
There's no conspiracy theory. Oh, look, I actually think it works out better for Ricky and the Raiders.
Do you really?
Well, I do. Yeah, I mean, you know, they beat Melbourne, I think it was in round 22 down there, and they, for periods of that game, 18-0 down. They only had 12 players for 20 minutes of that game. And they've also played the Roosters twice this year. I mean, the SCG is just a graveyard for anyone that takes on the Roosters there. They've played, you know, 9 games there, 1-8, you know, only lost the one, scored almost 400 points. I mean, they like playing their footy there. They've beaten the Raiders on both occasions, both times that they've met so far this year. And look, I know Melbourne, you know, they lick their wounds better than any other team in the competition. They'll have a different plan to come up against the Raiders next week. But yeah, I just think, you know, Ricky rested a couple of guys yesterday. Nickel Klokstad wasn't there. He gave, I think, Soliola a bit of a break. Bateman didn't play. They're key personnel, and they'll come back in. And to me, you know, that you want to win every game you go in, but I just don't think they'll be too upset about that result yesterday.
It just seems funny, Hoops, that in any circumstance, the best option is Melbourne in Melbourne.
Well, there's only two. There's only two options.
I know there's only two options.
They're both tough ones.
They are. Don't get me wrong. I know that.
I just see a few more deficiencies in the Melbourne Storm game when they're put under pressure.
Okay.
I'm with Gerds. There was so much speculation and conjecture in the lead-up to the last time that the Raiders ambushed the Storm down at Amy Park, and it was all about the Melbourne Storm's tactics, and Shane Richardson, the boss of South Sydney, came out that week and said that some of the things they were doing at the ruck area weren't in the spirit of the game, and underlined the fact that they were the pioneers of the grapple and the chicken wing and the rolling pin and all of those types of moves. And as a result of that, we actually saw a really open game between the Melbourne Storm and the Canberra Raiders. So, and the Raiders, as Gerds just pointed out, for them to come back from 18-0 down, nobody had ever done that before in the history of the game. Come back from 18-0 down at Amy Park, which is a graveyard for visiting sides, and they had players in the sin bin, and they had all sorts of issues going on. So it was a big confidence-boosting win for the Raiders, and they get some players back this week. They'll get BJ Leilua back from suspension. They'll get Joseph Tarpanay back from injury. They'll go down
Rapinoe,
there.
Rapinoe, I think, will come back into
Jordan
the side.
Jordan Rapinoe, yeah, the other players who were rested as well.
But Nickel he had Clock's an injury. Down. I think he did his shoulder, so he'll be available as well.
They're all back. I just get the impression the Raiders will go down there with the genuine belief that they can beat Melbourne.
Do you think the Raiders can win the premiership, Gerds?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. On their day. Yeah, I like the way that they're building. I think they've got a great balance. And you know what? They haven't experienced a lot of it yet, but I think guys like Bateman and Whitehead and Hodgson, I think they're the type of guys that are going to lap up finals football. I think they've actually been waiting for it a little bit. And I think, you know, it's really hard to get motivated for a game that doesn't mean a lot, especially when you see the coach resting players and the like. And is there a better front row in the competition at the moment than Josh Papali? No. I thought he was unbelievable yesterday. They're in great shape, in my opinion. Yeah.
What about the battle, Gordy? You'll love this. Big Papa up against Nelson Asofa Solomona.
Mm. You got to go for Josh. I think he's brutal. I don't think I've ever seen him get knocked over. And obviously Nelson isn't because he's 6'7". But Papali's built at that height and as wide as he is tall, that he's just a nightmare to tackle. You know what I mean? There's no getting a shot on him, dominating him, turning him on the back. His knees are so close, he plays the ball quick. And his confidence, he's just changed his game. I think he's had a great season. He's got fitter. He's getting more minutes. The minutes he's playing is quality. Mate, he's spinning. I love watching him play. And I think watching him in Origin, to be quite honest, when he first got picked, I thought, wow. Like, I thought, gee whiz, is he going to be ready? Now he's the first guy you pick. He was outstanding for Queensland.
Yeah.
But he was our most consistent.
Sorry, mate. Come back. West Tigers 2, Sharks 0. 5.5 gone. Go for your life.
Yeah, and Papali's going great. And another thing about the Raiders, like the Roosters, when they attack, it takes energy out of you. You know when you play those sides, Gerds, and we've always gone, mate, your Penrith side, they had that much footy in them, you're always on your bike in defence. So then when you got the ball, so when they finally kick it to you, you and there's that big deep breath, and you got to run 30 metres back to start bringing the ball. The Raiders take that energy out of you in defence as well. You know, I'm a bit like trying to stop Tedesco, Luttrell and Manu.
Boys, just on Jordan, sorry, Hoops, just on Jordan Rapinoe, Adrian Pajenko reports today in the Sun Herald that Jordan Rapinoe might be off to Japanese rugby to play for the Panasonic Wild Knights.
Just an update at the eighth wonder of the world, Anthony. Josh Dugan has just kicked the restart out on the full, so the West Tigers, they got a penalty on halfway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right,
and he put the hand up and said, my bad.
2-0 is the score on that, so thanks to the Tyre Power scoreboard right there. So that's the Raiders. They'll take on Melbourne. That game will be live on the Triple M network. So all the games are pretty much set now for final schedule. Friday 7:50 Roosters Rabbitohs, Saturday 5:30 Storm Raiders, Saturday 7:30 Manly versus Sharks or Tigers, and Sunday Eels versus Broncos, it would seem.
On that Raiders Melbourne Storm clash down at Amy Park, I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders try and unsettle Nelson Asofa Solomona a little bit, Gordy. Now, I know that sounds a tricky assignment given the size of the bloke. He's the biggest player in the competition at the moment. But I reckon there might be a bit of a theory amongst opposition teams that if you can make him do a lot of work and work him over and try and take away some of his effectiveness with the ball, you can frustrate him. He has got a brain snap in him and he can be found out in defence.
Well, you just move him around, don't you? Yeah. You know, I mean, like, there's one thing you want to do is, like, those big guys, they actually do like the collision, but you don't like getting up off the ground. They like dominating the collision. But the one thing you don't want to do is when the ball keeps going sideways and you're running forward, back, laterally moving, and then all of a sudden they start coming at you. Hodgson's out a dummy half with a couple of those English blokes hitting holes. It's a nightmare.
One of the things I've seen, you know, when I spoke about some of the deficiencies in the Melbourne Storm that have probably, you know, been unearthed throughout the season is, as we see the Tigers now, blow an opportunity, is their ill discipline. And it's something you don't really, it's not part of the Melbourne Storm psyche normally, but when they get frustrated, they get really ill-disciplined in the middle of the field. And I think Asofa's got that. He's a hothead. He's only 23 years of age. He's having a fantastic season, don't get me wrong. But finals, we're going to go up another level, and everything just gets a little bit heightened. And I just think we've seen it with Jesse Bromwich at times this year has been undisciplined. So is his brother Kenny. They're a side that can get frustrated. They haven't settled on a halfback yet. I think it'll be Hughes. Pappenhausen's basically going into his first season as an NRL player, only played half a dozen games at the back, or three games, or four games at the back, and he's going into his first final series. Justin Olam, I mean, there's just instability for mine around their backs and some of the decisions they make when they're under pressure. And I think Canberra go down there with a lot of confidence.
Cameron Smith said that when I was working on the Yems up in Brisbane when they played Broncos. They put them to the sword. After 20, they were 26-0 down and they pulled Brody Croft off. You know what I mean? So like, mate, he's a hard taskmaster, bellyache. And I said to Cameron, can this side go all the way? And he goes, it depends on the young guys. And you know what? And they're all the guys that you just mentioned. But, mate, if they're up to it, Gerds and their enthusiasm, and they don't make their mistakes, well, mate, they're good enough. That all them. Well,
it's how they handle pressure, Gordy. It's the decisions they're going to make under pressure. And if you think about, you know, their last few weeks or when they've been put under pressure in against quality opposition, they've come up with bad calls.
Hey, boys, just professionally, I don't know if you would know the answer to this, but I'm just interested to know, a team like the Raiders, when do they arrive in Melbourne? When would they get to Melbourne? The day before? A few days before? Are they there early in the week? What do you reckon the preparation would be?
Well, where do they? They played, obviously, in Canberra yesterday, so they haven't had to travel this weekend. Saturday. They're going to play Saturday, so I'd imagine they prepare at home, and they probably go down on Friday, probably... You know, midday.
Right.
You would stick to your normal routine. Mm-hmm. You're a creature of habit, so you'd try to stick to what you do every other time you go to Melbourne, wouldn't you?
I think it depends on what they want to do. If they're going to play that sort of afternoon game in Melbourne, generally they like to have, teams like to have a captain's run about 24 hours before the contest. So if they want to get down in the morning on the day before and train on, whether they're allowed on to... Amy Park or not, I'm not sure, but they'd like to get there. Otherwise, they have their last training run in Canberra, fly down, and then go into the game.
Good on you, Gerds. All that action will be live on the Triple M Network, all those finals games. Right now, West Tigers 2 lead the Sharkies 0. 10 minutes gone on the Tyre Power scoreboard. We're going to do a great debate very shortly. I love this one, the great debate. The topic, well, I'll give you the topic yet. Yeah, I'll give you the topic so you can do a little bit of homework in the ad time. The topic on the great debate... Paul Gallen versus Robbie Farah, two of the greats of the last 10, 15 years. They're both out there now. One of them's playing the last game of their career. The great debate. Paul Gallen versus Robbie Farah with the great Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler, James Triceps Hooper.
What's the debate about?
Who was better?
Oh, right.
Who's better?
Had a bigger impact on the NRL?
Yeah, who's had a bigger impact on the... Who's been the greater of two of these greats? All right, that's coming up as Triple M rocks the footy. Coops, Gerds, so too Gordy, Tallis and Maroon. The great debate is what we want to do now. By the way, it's still 2-0 West Tigers leading the Sharks on the Tyre Power scoreboard. A very, very close, almost a try for Ronaldo for the Sharks, but the ball was cleaned up there.
How do you say his name, Anthony?
Ronaldo.
Muratoro?
Mulitalo?
Okay.
Isn't it?
Tell you what, Ronaldo, that was an outstanding Mulitalo. Piece of play. Chip chase, grubber, regatta.
Ronaldo Mulitalo.
He looked like he was going to go over it. Deserved the try, but he just... spilled his lollies at the last hurdle over the try line.
So 2-0, Tigers lead with about 13 minutes gone in that game. We did a debate on our Facebook page there, Triple M NRL Facebook page. The great debate, we called it. Who is better? Who has had a greater career, Robbie Farah or Paul Gallen? Paul Gallen won 57% to Robbie's 43. So we love both these guys. We don't want to throw it open and make it a big old serious debate. But what about the career of these two? Between them, they've played over 650 NRL games. Paul Gallen, 24 games for New South Wales, a premiership, 32 games for Australia. Robbie, likewise, a 300-plusser, gets to finish his career as a West Tiger. 16 games for New South Wales, played for Australia, represented Lebanon on 7 occasions. Two very distinct long careers through the NRL. Why don't you start this one off, Gordy?
I think they've both been extremely important for each other's club. I think Gal at the Sharks... You know, when you read the stories about him ringing players and being able to help, like, recruit some of the, you know, like the Wade Grahams and the like. So he wasn't just a player. And it was through the tough times. I think Robbie through the tough times. When the West Tigers first come out, they had Princey and Brett Hodgson. Like, they had a bit of success, but then they went through a real tough time. It's really hard to split. You'd probably say Robbie's been a more skillful, gifted player, but you'd have to say the girls worked harder. And for what he's... was born with, you have to say the girls probably worked harder, so you'd probably give him the points decision, and it'd only just be slightly. Great. You would think, you know, I mean, probably because he's played more games for Australia too, and obviously Robbie had Cameron in front of
and,
him.
And Paul Gallen, he debuted in 2001. That's like 100 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an incredible. They've both had incredible careers, yeah. And you need guys in your footy side that just live and breathe footy, and they're those guys. They're the guys that, you know, they watch a lot of footy, they talk about a lot of footy, and yeah, they're the guys that once they cross that stripe, give everything for their clubs, and they do, and to do it over 300 times the way that they have is quite unbelievable. They're divisive characters. I mean, they divide opinion. They've both had, you know, careers that where they've probably done things that they, you know, they wish they wouldn't have when they sort of look back, but they've also achieved some amazing things in which you've already mentioned. But I probably think that that for mine, I would have to say Gow probably nudges Robbie out in the way that obviously both won a premiership, but Gow's representative career in relation, we know how often he played for New South Wales, and that wasn't always with a lot of success, but how many times he represented his country, I think, you know, that's fairly high.
Yeah, 32 times.
And that's quite incredible, to be honest, and I think that probably gives him the tick over Robbie at this point, but totally different players.
Yeah, and obviously, Hoops, you're a Tigers man in your personal life. That's your team that you back. Robbie, it was amazing how he was forced out of the Tigers, went to Souths and played, you know, 26 games for South, something along those lines, and then he gets to finish his career at the Tigers, and then when we think it's over, he comes out and he's playing again today. He warmed up, a player pulled out in Corey Thompson. Robbie Farrar is on the bench, and he is still alive, and he's still playing in the NRL today. Your thoughts on Robbie? You've had a lot to do with him.
As Gerd said, I think both Robbie Farrar and Paul Gallen are polarising figures in the game. But on Robbie, look, I think it was only fitting that he was allowed to come back to the club that you know, he shed so much blood, sweat and tears for. He's a local junior. He played for the Leichhardt Wanderers, also played for the Enfield Federals, but the Wanderers was primarily where he spent the majority of his time. He loves Leichhardt Oval. He's actually one of the blokes who came up with the phrase the eighth wonder of the world, and coined that. And you just know how passionate he is about the club. When Jason Taylor, who was the West Tigers coach at the time, decided that he wanted to cut Robbie Farrar out of the club, I remember saying at the time, Taylor's staked his second coming as an NRL coach on this decision. And ultimately, he lost that war. He might have got rid of Robbie Farrar eventually, but ultimately, it cost him his position at the West Tigers. He couldn't get the job done as a head coach. And once he was gone, well, the pathway was cleared for Robbie to return. And you'd be hard-pressed finding any Tigers fans, given the effort that he puts on the field. Like, he is the ultimate professional, as you've seen evidence. We'll see evidence later on this afternoon. Like, the fact that he's playing 29 days after sustaining a crack in the tibia bone, that's an indication of, you know, what the Tigers club means to Robbie.
The better question would have been, is he the best ever Tiger?
That's a very good question. That is a very good question.
And Paul Gallen, the best ever Shark?
From a West Tigers point of view, so not Balmain and West. So, like, are you talking?
Yes. Yeah, so here we go.
Joint venture.
Who's better, number Benny 9? Or Robbie? Benny. Yeah. Benny's a better player than, in my view, Benny Elias is.
Benny Elias was a freak. Yeah,
there's not a lot between them, but Benny Elias, he changed the way that dummy halves play the game. He revolutionised the modern day. Back when he played, it was number 12. Now it's number 9.
But I think Gerd's, on the back of what these blokes are saying about whether or not Robbie was the best, obviously in joint venture times, he wins that. Yeah. I think you could arguably say Paul Gallen is the greatest Shark of all time.
Well, I think Stevie Rogers was a fantastic Cronulla Sharks player as well. So I think certainly modern day you've got Andrew Eddinghausen's as well, but obviously they'd never won a premiership.
He's and if you talk to some of those old guys, they say Gavin Miller.
They say Gavin Miller as well.
I mean, they say Gavin Miller's the
great. Yeah, Gal's a warrior, but I don't think if you want to talk.
The greatest Shark.
The greatest Sharks of all time. It's Steve Rogers, it's Gavin Miller, and it's E2.
Yeah. But just back on Robbie, the thing, and we've seen it a lot with Benji, and we know that he had a little break and went over there to South Sydney. Mm. But what I like about what Robbie's been able to do coming back in this sort of second coming here at the Tigers is the fact that he really struggled to allow players sometimes to play around him and develop underneath him because he was such a dominant player. And he had that issue with like the likes of Luke Brooks and that coming through. And he used to burn and churn through a lot of halves because he was so dominant. I like the fact that he's been able to come back over the last couple of years as we see the Sharks score a great try there through
Britton Nakora.
Nakora, who's having a bumper season. He's been able to come back and he's been able to just sort of allow Luke Brooks to develop into the wonderful player that he is. Dally M, halfback of the year last year, having another great season so far this year. So, again, not an easy thing to do, but I like the way Robbie's been able to go about his business in that manner.
Yeah, good on you. Good, well
no,
said,
good
fellas.
On you, Maroon.
No, good on you, blokes. You
know, that's another segment that you've come up with that you probably didn't think that hard about.
I wasn't being disrespectful to. Well, it's not bad, Gordy. You've talked about it for 15 minutes before you came up with that. Anyway,
what was that Facebook segment that you came up with earlier?
I'm working on that.
Oh, you're still working on that? I thought you said that was off the tarmac.
It's not off the tarmac yet.
Ready to fly.
It's not ready to fly just yet. I'm just
doing. Are we doing maroon today?
What were you calling it? No, that's been
marooned.
Has it? So we're not doing the maroon 5.
I've got this great one for Facebook, which I'll tell you about.
No, come on. Spit it out.
Because we've got to find a sponsor.
You're all about money. Why don't you give our listeners something, mate?
Listen.
Why does it always have to be about feathering
your pocket? don't have to turn it on me because because the Sharkies have scored. It's 4-2. You did a great debate on Gallen and Robbie Farah. No one could ask more of you than that. It was a wonderful debate. I was just going to say, in Paul Gallen's defence, so that you could go me again, and with due respect to Steve Rogers and Gavin Miller, okay, either of those blokes won a premiership, and either of those blokes played entirely for the Sharks. That was all I was going to say in my argument for Paul Gallen.
But you're saying the greatest ever Bronco, Wally Lewis probably is the greatest player, so you think him, even though Alan Langer's played, and Darren Lockyer.
Good on you, Mark Zuckerberg.
You would still say that'd be Wally.
Well, that's
Wally
a good. Lewis. That's the
good opinions, on your Facebook.
Opinion,
good on your
Mark
Zuckerberg.
Come
on, Zuckerberg.
Come on. What do you got for
me? What's your big plan, Mark? Facebook.
Yeah, talk about fake.
Great. You'll love it.
Is it Facebook or is it Facebook?
Sharks 4, West Tigers 2, 19 minutes left in the first half, and they are about to add possibly a conversion just for the right-hand side of the upright.
Is it true, Maroon, that you've gone out and put a patent on teeth book?
Well, my teeth are nearly as good as yours now.
No, they're nowhere near as good as mine.
They're nearly as good as yours.
You didn't spend enough money on them.
There we go now. So this should be a conversion here.
He got his done in Thailand.
There's nothing. idiots.
Thailand. Look at him, old Thailand.
There's nothing wrong with my teeth.
Anthony Maroon.
There's nothing wrong with my hair. Your T-shirt is the same colour as a pair of old woman's undies. That's what I was going to say to you before.
Okay? Don't you know what old woman's undies look like? Peep and talk.
Jam that into yourself, son.
Peep and talk.
Okay, so 4-2. I don't know if the conversion was successful. He missed the goal. He missed the conversion. 4-2. An easy conversion missed. There's been a lot of that lately.
Undies. Have you been looking on Daffy's clothesline again?
Triple M footy for Ream Hot Water.
Welcome back to it. Final time.
Oh, man. Anthony.
You were so professional, Anthony.
You blokes. Sorry, guys. They held me away from the microphone so that I couldn't talk. Sharks 4. the Tigers 2. Righto, boys.
You tell the truth in any aspects of your life.
Why are you you are the biggest liar.
But what you guys tell.
You tell more porcupines than any other person I have ever met.
Really?
Yes.
Are you calling the game with us this afternoon?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, great. Obviously, we've got all afternoon together.
We have. We're going to have a bit of fun today.
What are you saying? We don't have fun usually?
Huh? Well, I don't know.
Are you begging
Dan? No, I love Dan. I love Dan. He's a better bloke than all of you blokes put together.
He has plenty of holidays, though, and you find yourself covering his shifts a lot, don't you? You did two games yesterday. You're not a little bit upset?
What I did say to you three off air, and this isn't a lie, was don't attack me today because I'll come back at you, okay?
Ooh, I thought you were going to say something
else. Don't attack me today because I will come back at you.
You told me my shirt looks like old undies.
It does.
It's
the same colour as, that beige colour people have.
Like the brown bomber.
Yeah. More like the beige bomber.
Have you been perving on Daphne's clothesline again, have you?
I have not been doing that at all, Hoops. Mm. By the way, it's 4-2, Cronulla. Let's talk about the Broncos, who lost yesterday to the Doggies, 30 points to 14. If, for some reason, this game finished a draw, the Broncos would miss out on the finals. You guys might have a differing opinion of it. They were so disappointing last night, the Broncos, I suppose going to finals, when you just make the finals, you've got to have your finals face on in the last round of the NRL.
I suppose the last six or so weeks they've had to fight to probably keep in touch with the top eight, and maybe knowing that, you know, unless it's a draw in what, there's been one this year or one in the last couple of years, that there's probably not going to be, that they thought that they were going to play finals footy, and, you know, they were down a little bit, and the Dogs, well, they've had a great back end of the season, haven't they? Like, they've been really good in the last 10 or so weeks, and it's danger signs for Brisbane, but they're the only side that'll be in the top eight with, I think they're negative 57 or something like that. Mate, that's not great signs. Going into play finals.
As we see, I think the Sharks there just force a line dropout. Look, they had an opportunity yesterday to make their run a hell of a lot easier because, you know, and I agree with what Gordon said. They've had half a dozen big games, most of them up at Suncorp, and they've had to fight every week tooth and nail to stay in the finals race. Don't look at me like that. And then last night they had the opportunity to beat the Bulldogs, which isn't an easy task. The Bulldogs have won, I think, four of their games in the last 5 weeks have been against top eight contenders, and they've been able to overcome that. So they were never going to be an easy beat, but they had the opportunity to go down next week on the Saturday night and play Manly, who at the moment are depleted. Yeah, we know Marty's gone. We know Tommy Turbo's gone. I think Sirenin got injured the other night.
He's gone.
Thompson's gone. Yep. Paseka's gone. I mean, I don't know whether Gajesti comes back, but I mean, they're depleted in the middle of the field. So it's an opportunity last night for the Broncos to come down, get it right, and make sure that they, you know, potentially meet an understrength Manly side and go into round two. They're a great team of individuals. Like that again last night, the three tries that they scored, I think Tony Staggs was, you know, great a couple of occasions, just was able to create something out of nothing, and the last try Milford was brilliant. As soon as they need to shift the football and they get like one pass wide, no one knows what they're doing. And the other thing is, you know, and it's been quite predictable, you stop them in the middle of the field and you stop the Brisbane Broncos. Now that's more easier said than done, but last night if you think about the second half of that game, they did not get into the Canterbury Bulldogs half because Canterbury just compressed their defensive line and Brisbane just went one out and one out and one out. And on the back of what was a really good kicking game by the Bulldogs and some high energy in defence, as soon as the Brisbane Broncos went to shift the football coming out of their own end, they just make errors. So there's just not enough parts of their game that they've got covered to go in and compete in the finals. Sure, they're big and they're strong and they're aggressive and they can do some damage that way, but... you know, I think they're a couple of lengths away from where the other teams are in the eight.
As Gordy pointed out a couple of weeks ago, and Gerds has just reiterated, they're like a Formula One Ferrari without a driver, because in the playmaking department, they just haven't got their balance and struck the right combination. And they're going to have a tough conversation with Darius Boyd, which I've been told they are going to do over the course of the off season. And I think they might have a tough conversation with Andrew McCulloch. With a view to trying to shake things up a little bit. The name that I keep hearing linked to the Brisbane Broncos is the young Melbourne Storm half, Brody Croft.
Yeah.
And he's out of favour at the Storm at the moment because we've seen Craig Bellamy come up with the decision to pick Ryan Pappenhausen at fullback and shift Jerome Hughes into the halves at this critical stage of the season. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens.
And the consequence, just quickly, Maroon, before we go to a break, in that loss last night, was that they now go to Bank West next week to play the Parramatta Eels, who they get Nathan Brown back this week. We're not sure what's going to happen with Evans. They're coming off a good win. And last time they played at Bank West Stadium, the Broncos, they got beat 38-10.
Yeah, 100%. On last night's performance, here's their coach, the Broncos, Anthony Seibold.
Yeah, very disappointed in our group. Looked like the Bulldogs were playing for a place in the finals, not us. I'm annoyed because now... we hope tomorrow doesn't go into golden point draw, and that's not a good strategy. But I'm proud of the way we've turned our season around. I'm proud of the way that the members and the supporters are stuck with us, but they'll be hurting tonight. I'm hurting. Our team's hurting. And if we are fortunate enough to get into the top eight, we'll be playing Parramatta away. And if we turn up like that, then they'll beat us and beat us convincingly.
Okay, that's Anthony Seibold on the performance last night.
Does this mirror sound a bit like Kermit?
Maroon, you shouldn't have told Gordon to say that.
No, I did
you
not.
You should not right have told Gordon to say not. That. You planted that seed. Yeah.
But just Brisbane moving forward, they got so many shiny toys. They got so much talent. But they got to get their balance right. You know, like, they got to... If Fifita's going to be $1 million player, they need to throw that into a halfback or a 5'8". So, like, they got the young Dearden And apparently, like, you know, and I actually like watching him play, and I think, but he's 2 years away from dominating the way a halfback should and boss those guys around. And then they need a number six, right, to go with him, because Darius ain't there. And then at fullback, they need to have a tough conversation with Anthony Milford. I like the way he plays. Actually,
he's got to either get he's got to get fit. He's got to get fit.
In the halves, yeah, and that's it. So he's got so much ability, that guy. It just comes down to fitness.
Let me ask you this, Gordon. We spoke to Dobbo on the Saturday show yesterday, and basically Dobbo said that, and you'd know, obviously, with your finger on the pulse up north, that Dearden's actually just been
rested
and put it, they call it the factory up there, to put on weight for the next year or whatever it may be. But, I mean...
What's the factory?
I don't know. Apparently you go to the factory if you're in Brisbane, and that's where you put on weight, and I think there's a couple of young
guys.
It's called
the Regatta.
Different factory than you go to.
That's called his factory.
But I mean, to the Brisbane fans and members, and when your side's on the eve of making the finals, and you know Jake Turpin's not a seven, he gives his all, but he's not a seven. If this guy's uninjured, why wouldn't you be playing him?
I think a couple of weeks ago I said, where is he back? Because Dobbo's always at training. And then I knew he went to training and he might have re-injured his ankle or whatever. But he is playing in Trust Super Cup. Hold on. He's got to play first grade. He was their best option at number seven. They made the tough call. They got rid of Cody Nikorima. That's an international. So you know, then they put this kid in 9A. We just wanted to give him a taste. If you just want to give him a taste, Cody's still got to be playing there.
You might make the finals next year. Mm. You might not make the finals next year. You're in the finals this year.
I don't get it. And someone like Maloney, and as silly as
when you say you're to him, he's not a Broncos fan. He's a Titans fan. They definitely won't make the finals.
He's always been Bronco to me.
I'm a Bronco.
He's a Broncos legend, mate.
Yeah,
he's a Bronco.
And
was I talking to you, mate?
No, but I'm just clarifying you, trying to muddy his reputation.
Gordon, if you could continue, please.
Someone like Maloney, and it's not desperate, but you're filling in with a huge amount of experience. Mitchell Pearce was up. I don't know why they didn't get in that ballpark or even Cooper Cronk, mate, when he was...
But have a look at your halves, though, Gordon. I mean, they're paying, obviously, big money for Darius now, who's on probably around 800. You've got Jack Bird there as well, who came up there as a half on the similar sort of money, and Milford on $1 million. I mean, so they're the...
Lodge's on 800, but just in your playmakers, in that spine area,
I mean, if that's where they need to bring some cattle, where do they get the funds from?
Cronulla 4,
well,
West Tigers 2.
Well, they're spending it all on their outside backs. They've got a million outside backs that are so talented. They've got the best forward pack, and now Fifita, like, it'll be laughable if they can keep all those.
It's not just Fifita they've got to re-sign. It's Katoni Staggs as well. Like, we saw his influence and his input into that side last night. If he doesn't play, they get flogged
As what Jeff Toovey said, there'll be an investigation into it if they can keep them all.
Let's take a break, boys. We'll come back and continue this conversation. Cronulla 4, West Tigers now 4. 4 all.
Call the game off. Level.
4 all. West Tigers. As Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's. Triple M footy.
And welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. We are getting ready for finals footy, and right now Sharks and Tigers are all locked up at 4 all. Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler, so to hoops, it's time for this.
Believe it or not.
So this is just a couple of little things here where I put it to the boys. Believe it or not, so is it true or not true? Do you agree or do you disagree, I guess, is where we're coming from here. We've done the thing about Robbie Farah and Paul Gallen, so let's start off with this. Believe it or not, Gordy, it's a two-horse race for the title, Storm and the Roosters. It's a two-horse race for the title.
I think South proved otherwise the other night, and so did the Raiders a couple of weeks ago when they went and beat Melbourne down in Melbourne. So, no, I think it's the top four sides... can win the competition.
You think of all the top four?
Yes.
Okay, what about you?
I agree with Gordon. I believe it's down to a top four shootout, Maroon. What have you done? And that's cruel. You know what, it's cruel? Because Hoops is a mad Tigers fan. When's the last time you guys made the finals, Hoops?
When he was a 2011.
That's 2011.
2011. And we've got the screen on here.
You thought that was funny.
And Maroon had the control and kept turning it off and blaming production for technical difficulties. And that was just not nice.
Well,
and you deserve everything that comes your way, Anthony.
Well, absolutely, mate. See, people think that we pick on you. You are such a bully.
Yeah. I was just having a bit of fun. I had the remote in my pocket.
Yeah, that's
Will
real.
You be taking your usual 5,000 sheets of paper home from Triple M today, Anthony?
No, I won't be doing
that. Oh, you won't be doing that today.
Can I tell you what happened? He come in Wingen, right? So he picked me up from the airport.
Just be very careful.
No, because, you be very careful. No. You started it.
Oh, I did.
So don't throw the first one. I and did. Then we're
just going to throw the conversation back here from 11
Guys,
to 11:30.
No, please, don't say anything. We've got 3 weeks to go. Don't talk about anything that could get us into serious trouble.
No, not me. All it's right? not going to get me into trouble.
Well, why would you want to get me into trouble?
Oh, did you do something wrong?
I don't know, but I don't want to hear about it on
you
the
sound
radio.
Very guilty.
Is it a two-horse race for the title of Storm and the Roosters Girds?
I answered that question.
What did you say? What did you say?
I don't believe it.
What about you? Is it a two-horse race? What do you think, Hoops?
No, I don't believe it, Anthony. I think any of the top four sides can win.
All right, half time here. I think West Tigers and Sharks are locked at four.
Sharkies have just got a penalty right on the stroke of half time, which, if they take the two, will push them out to 6-4, Anthony.
Okay. All right, well, we'll come back to that. Yep, right in front of the post. Des Hasler is the coach of the year. Believe it or not, Gordon Tallis.
No, he's not.
Who is?
Craig Bellamy.
Mm-hmm.
Mate, with the talent that he's lost by far every year, if they're all on the market and they're all the same price, Craig Bellamy wins. Hands down.
Yeah, I'd say I don't believe it. No, I obviously, bellyache, Robbo, you could even put Ricky in there. Some good contenders this year, but it's hard. When someone wins the minor premiership by 4 or 6 points, it's hard to go against what they've done.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider the players that they lost with Billy retiring and the other players that have left Melbourne over the last few years.
Paul McGregor will survive the Dragons review, Hoops. Believe it or not?
Yeah, today I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the next couple of weeks, but at the moment, I do believe it.
What about you, Gerds?
Yeah, I believe you will.
Mm-hmm. And Gordon?
Yeah, I believe Mary will coach them next year.
All right. We might get a half-time report here. As Hoops said, the Sharks will kick one. They've already missed an easy one, and they've kicked one right on half-time. The Sharks 6 lead the West Tigers 4 on the Taipower scoreboard. So let's go to Reedy and let's get a read on the atmosphere and what's been going on there. Brent Reed, welcome back, mate. How was the first half?
Hello, gents. It was a bit of an arm wrestle first half, but it was a cracking atmosphere here. Obviously, Robbie Farrow didn't get on the field. He sat on the bench most of that first half. He actually spent the first 5 or 10 minutes warming up on an exercise bike because he obviously had that restricted warm-up before the game. But it's been a real arm wrestle, and they haven't really had the chance to put Robbie into the game yet, or the knee.
I guess that first goal Sean Johnson missed might come back to be costly, mate. That was just to the right-hand side of the upright. They scored the try, and he failed to convert.
Well, they've had a shocking year with their goalkeeping, haven't they, Crowell? I think it's cost them 3 or 4 games. And I'll tell you what else might come back to or be a bit controversial. That penalty right at the end of the half there, I think he gave it for whoever it was playing the ball before they called held. And it looked as though the guy was held for ages. So a bit of a controversial end of the opening half. But Johnson kicked that goal. So they take a 2-point lead in a half time for Dallow and put a pretty even contest.
How does it play out in the second half, Rudy?
Well, that's a very good question. The way it's going, it's going to be tight, nice and tight. There's no doubt about that. I'm just looking for one of these sides that gets to take the shackles off. I think Cronulla have probably looked a little bit more dangerous than over 40 minutes, but too tight to call at the moment, Hoops.
All right, well, we'll catch up with you again at full time of this game, and then, of course, we'll have full coverage of the Newcastle-Penrith game for you here.
Can you go and have a can on the hill at half time, Rudy? Or...
Am I, you're saying?
Yeah, you should.
I might do, why not?
Yeah, good on you, mate.
Perfect conditions.
He's into the rosé.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, mate, he's a little rosé.
You're a Channel 9 man.
Yeah, good on you, Reedy. We're losing you, mate. You get up the hill and have a wine or a can of something, or go out sit in the park and have a cask of something for all I care, as long as you're there at full time when we come back to you. Well, mate, you can go and enjoy the game in peace now. You can watch the rest of your Tigers play on one of the many, many big screens that are on around Triple M.
I'm going to. Thanks, Anthony.
And we'll catch you on NRL 360 or whatever you're on this week. I don't know what...
Big League wrap this evening, yep. Anthony. Mm-hmm. Yep, 7 p.m. after Matty Johns.
Yep, love that.
League.
Love that. Yep. Always watch that.
I know you're an avid watcher.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we will take a break and come back and talk more about this game and, of course, the game that follows, Penrith Newcastle. Plenty happening in the NRL as Triple M rocks the finals.